There is one struggle that all of us Christians have. It is the struggle between knowing what is right and doing what is right. St. Paul says in our epistle this morning, "For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." The second big question regarding this passage is whether Paul is using "I" autobiographically, speaking about his own experience, or is he using "I" more generally, refer to the condition of unregenerate non-Christian people. Early church fathers thought that Paul was describing an unregenerate person in chapter 7 of the book of Romans. But St. Augustine, well acquainted with sins of the flesh, and many other theologians disagreed, believing that Paul was describing a general Christian dilemma. I strongly believe that Paul is describing his own struggle with sin, a struggle common to all Christians. As long as we live in this fallen world, we ought to face up to all its trials and temptation. We know what is right, we just do not do it. The gap between willing and doing is a universal phenomenon. In other words, it is the conflict between good and evil. The conflict Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 7 is a form of spiritual warfare. Paul's teaching on the tension and struggle between life in the spirit and life in the flesh. Spirit is will, but flesh is weak. It is like the game of tug of war. As we learn to say no to sin and yes to God, we are given a renewed spirit and understanding. Paul talks about this struggle by talking about his own spiritual struggle with good and good versus evil. In his own eyes, he failed to do any good, and he could only completely comply with God's law. He could not completely comply with God's law. Now, I'm talking about the law of Old Testament, the Torah, God's Old Testament law, which demanded perfection. The law does not save us from sin, but it does show us the character of the giver of the law, holy and just God. The problem with the law is that it reveals human weakness when compared to the law's perfect demand and standard. The Pharisees try to compensate for this by coming up with a list of more than 600 do's and don'ts, but they only reinforce the point that we can't completely obey the law. God's law pulls us heavenward, whereas the law of sin pulls us toward hell. But Jesus gives us eternal life through him and escape from the work of the flesh is through him. Jesus dealt with sin through his death and resurrection. As we all know, we Christians need to rely on God's faithfulness and God's ability to overcome our sinful nature. Because what is impossible for humans is made possible with God. In our Old Testament reading, which was quite long, we all know the story, the background. We see God does not speak directly in this story. God does not intervene in any obvious way in this domestic tale. And yet, all the key people mentioned in this account are relying on the faithfulness of God. the unnamed servant of Abraham, probably Eliezer, is a central figure in this account and a model of faithful action. Given a difficult task, he does what he can and leaves the rest to God. That's the key, I think. Do what you can and leave the rest to God. Rebecca also shows an incredible faith in the God of Abraham. She herself does not hesitate to go with Abraham's servant. She's not only strong because, you know, kind of watering the camel, 10 camels, it says. It is quite a task. She's not only strong but decisive. She, like Abraham before her, leaves home and family to travel to a land which she has never seen. They all demonstrated faith in the God of Abraham, the only one true God, and did not rely on their own ability. And this is what the scripture says. We need to rely on Jesus, the perfecter and finisher of our faith. We read in Luke chapter 18 that Jesus, referring to salvation, said, "For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." And those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." What is impossible for us to solve on our own has been solved by God's grace on the cross of Calvary. Jesus has freed us from the damages caused by this inner war. Jesus has fulfilled the law of God. He is the perfect Lamb that was given as a guilt offering for your sins and my sins. If we genuinely seek to do God's work in our world, we become better people of faith. And in our gospel this morning, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest of your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Dear friends, if we are weary and carrying heavy burdens of many and various kinds, deeply longing for rest, to all who are weary to the bone and weighed down, Jesus says, "Come to me and I will give you rest." It is not that Jesus invites us to a life of ease. Following him will be full of risks and challenges, as he has made very clear. He calls us to a life of humble service, but it is a life of freedom and joy instead of slavery. It is life yoked to Jesus under God's gracious and merciful reign, free from the burden of sin and the need to prove oneself, free to rest deeply and securely in God's grace. Like St. Paul, we may have a constant struggle when it comes to doing the right thing. As he speaks about his own struggle with sin, he identifies an area in our lives that we need to bring under God's control. We too struggle with dishonesty, impure thoughts, wrong actions, carelessness towards others, and lack of accountability in our walk of faith, and many more. But Paul invites us to bring our inner turmoil to the cross of Calvary. Confess our sin. Renew our life with God. Renew our life with our husband, our wife, our children, parents, our siblings, our brother and sister in the church. because Christ's grace is sufficient for us. Paul challenges us to die to sin and become alive to God. And Saint Peter says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. He calls us to more intentional living of the life in Christ. Because it is all intentional. If we think it will happen automatically, something, you know, on its own, it doesn't. It is intentional. And if we are in Christ, we are a new creation, says St. Paul. The old is past. Let us break free and become alive in Christ. Let us grow in our relationship to Christ. Let also our relationship with this body, the body of Christ, spring forth to new life. Let our hearts burn for the kingdom of God. And it's all intentional. Then the world will know that we are his disciples. If we are willing, let the world know. If we are in Christian calendar, thinking, if I am doing okay, if I am doing enough, looking at your own efforts, the Bible says, look unto Jesus, the perfecter and finisher of your faith. We should always remind ourselves of the victory we have in Jesus Christ, who says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. Jesus promises to carry our heavy burdens and give us rest. Jesus knows the gap in our life and invites us to rely on him. In conclusion, I would like to read a prayer written by an American theologian, Reinhold Niebuhr. He says, God, give me grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and extremely happy with you forever in the next. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.